Hebrews 10, verse number 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Big time. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Confidence is a word for faith. Don't throw away your faith. Don't fling it away so readily. Why? Because there's a big payoff coming. And I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking about whatever you're believing God for, whatever you need. There's a big payoff. It'll pay off richly for you to stay in faith. So he said, don't fling it away. Cast it away. You know, I am a throw things away kind of guy. Not faith. I'm not talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about in the natural. I don't keep Christmas cards all year. I'm sorry. I appreciate the Christmas cards, but I don't keep them all year. I mean, it clutters, and you got stacks of Christmas cards from 1987 after a while, you know. I mean, what's the point, you know? I'm a throwaway guy. I mean, if I go through my closet regularly, and if I haven't worn it for a while, and I know I'm not going to wear it, I do something with it. But we got to be careful not to get that over into our spiritual life. Amen. Because he said, I like to say it this way, don't fling away your faith. You know, there's, let's go over to another passage before we go any further, actually. Go over to Hebrews 6, and, let's go to a couple of verses. Let's go to a couple of verses. Hebrews 6, let's go to another one in Hebrews. Hebrews 6, first of all, chapter number 6, verse number 12. It says, be not slothful, that you be not slothful. That means lazy spiritually, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The actual Greek says imitators of them. Imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Let's also go to Hebrews 10, verse number, you're in Hebrews 10. What are you? Hebrews 6. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Excuse me. Hebrews 10, verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because he's faithful that has promised. Do you believe he's faithful? Amen. He said he's faithful to him who has promised. He that's promised is faithful. You've never met anybody that trusted God and God was unfaithful. Now, I know the enemy will say that, and the enemy will tell people, well, that God didn't come through on that. No, God never he cannot lie. The Bible said his word is truth and he cannot lie. There's been times I've not been sure what happened. I don't know what happened there. What happened, God? But I never really, because I got my mind renewed early, I never really accused God of being the one that was unfaithful. That's a road with a bridge out. Amen. It was on my end. Just remember, whether it's me, you, or someone else, failures are man-made. Not God-made. God never failed. His word never fails. Failures are man-made. Amen. So if I failed, you failed, somebody else failed to receive from God, that's just the point. It was us that failed, not God. How many of you ever thought along the lines of, well, God didn't come through on that one for a while, and then you went on down the road and grew a little bit, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, oh, dear Jesus. But you can't get God to work for you siding in against him. So, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. In verse Hebrews 10:35, verse 23 says, hold fast the profession of our faith. Don't throw it away. Hold it fast. And then he said in 6:12, it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. And so patience doesn't mean sit by and wait. If you look up the word patience there in Hebrews 6:12, it doesn't mean to sit by and wait passively for God to do something while you or I twiddle our thumbs. Amen. The Greek word means persistence. Amen. Through faith and persistence, we inherit the promises. It means the quality of being constant under pressure or opposition. Amen. Constant, being constant under pressure. Remaining constant, staying the same. It means to not be moved by tests and trials, by doubt, evidence to the contrary, mental attacks against the mind, and the suggestion of the enemy that this isn't working. If it's not working, what's the big deal, devil? Why are you so worried about it? Why do you keep saying, yak, 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 yak? It's not working, not working, not working, not working, not working, not working. If it's not working, what's the big deal? It's not working. So go bother somebody else because it's not working. Why is he yak, yak, yak? It's not working right now. Not working, not working, not working, not working, not working, not working. Because it is working. And he's trying to tell you it's not. So you'll cast away your confidence and not hold fast to the profession of your faith. And give up persistence. Can you see how these verses all flow together? Hallelujah. The fact that the Bible teaches to be persistent is an indication, to be honest with you, that you're going to experience opposition. Don't think that this faith thing means you have no opposition. It just means you're going to go through life now on flowery beds of ease, like Brother Hagin used to say, and everything will just fall on you like ripe cherries off of a tree while you sip lemonade. Not going to happen that way. There comes a time sometimes you got to fight the good fight of faith. And that doesn't mean fight the devil. He's already been defeated. I'm talking about fight to hold fast and not cast away your confidence. Amen. Why would the Bible tell us we'd have to hold fast our confession if there wasn't something out there that's going to try to strip that confession away from you? Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is. It's going to oppose you and oppose your stand in faith. Now, Jude 1:3, you can go over there if you want. I'm going to go a little quickly on this, but Jude 1:3 tells us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. To earnestly contend for something means to be eager and determined, I'm going to hold fast to this, and I'm not going to let it slip. Earnestly contend. There's something out there that's trying to deny you of your faith. Wake up and smell the Bible. It's trying to take you away from your faith. It's trying to get you to quit. Well, I thought God said, but it doesn't seem like it's working out. And I don't know where, and I don't know why, and I don't know when, and I don't know through whom. It just doesn't. You're trying to answer the wrong questions. All you got to answer is, what did God say? You don't have to answer where, why, when. Just answer, what did God say? What did God say to you? What did he say to you? What did he say in the Bible? Yes. But what did he breathe into your heart in times of prayer by the Holy Spirit? What did he say to you? Did he say to you that he has a business he wants you to have? Did he say to you, you're going to participate in this last era and there's a certain kind of ministry that you're going to have? What did he say to you? Miss Carletta, he told you some things. And you got to hold that fast. You got to hold. And the devil will say, well, it's not coming. It's not happening. It's not, I don't know why. It just doesn't seem like it's coming. Seems like it's not. We don't go by seems like. We walk by faith and not by seems like. There's a revelation. We go by faith and not by seems like. Just doesn't seem like anything has happened. Well, your seamer's not working very well. Your seamer's tuned in to what you see. Amen. So you got to answer, what did God say? What did God say, Pastor Matthew, about the music of this era? What did he say to you about it? What did he say to you, Brian, about the music of this era? What did he say to the worship team? Did he say there's music and I want you to get it and songs belong to you? What did he say to you? What did he say to you? That's all you got to stand on. What'd he say? What'd he say? He said, if we'll spend time in his presence, and he'll give us these songs. Whatever he said. Did he say you have a part in this era? Did he say there's music that sounds from heaven that he wants to give to you? Was it Dottie Rambo that had a upper kind of a prayer room, kind of a music room? Was that her? And angels would come up there and give her songs. Well, that's just not for her. That's for this era. What'd he say to you? What'd he say to you about the assistance of the angels? What'd he say to you about the music that belongs to this era? Let's fight for it. Well, you know what I mean, fight for it. I don't mean God's trying to hold it away and we got to fight him. Not even the devil, but I mean just hold fast to our confession of faith and say what God said and not cast away our confidence and persist in faith. Amen? What'd he say to you? That's why you need to write things down so you can keep on going back to what he said. This is what he said. I was doing it yesterday, just going over some things he said. Because without writing it down, you can let it slip. You ever read that in the Bible, Hebrews 1? Don't let these things slip.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so when you read them over, you're like, oh, yeah, thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, Father, I thank you. I picked that back up. You said that to me.
Yes, sir.
Well, Pastor, it's been years. What's that got to do with anything?
That's right.
Does time passing change what God said?
No, it does not.
No, sir.
Absolutely not. That's all you got to do. What did he say? What did he say, Teresa, to you about that business? Amen. Hold it fast. What did he say to you, Cameron Brianna, about the ministry? Hold it fast. Don't let it go. Don't let it. The devil will try to get you. Well, you know, so much time has passed. Maybe I didn't hear God. Well, why didn't you think that back then? You knew it was God. But see, something's trying to get you to cast away your confidence. And it's your job not to let it slip out of your hands. It's your job to earnestly contend for what God said. It's your job not to just fling it away. You know why people fling it away? You want to know why? Because they don't recognize the value of what holding fast in faith will bring into their lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If your faith was as valuable to you as it is to God, then you wouldn't cast it away so quick. If you knew the great recompense of reward. Do you realize that there's a, here he said that there's a great, it would have been good to say there's a recompense of reward, but he didn't say that. He said, which hath great recompense of reward. Amen. The word great, remember over there in the parable of the sower, the seed grew and became great. The Greek there is ganamahi megas. Ganamahi means become, and megas, we all know what mega is.
Amen.
Amen. So don't cast away your confidence, which hath ganamahi megas reward. Mega rewards. Hallelujah. In other words, something better than what you're experiencing right now. It's a ganamahi megas. Poke your neighbor and say, that's where I'm going, ganamahi megas. That's where I'm going. Ganamahi megas. Hallelujah. You need to put that on your refrigerator. Ganamahi megas is mine.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Greatness.
Greatness.
Oh, no, I don't want to be great. I want to be humble. Well, that is great. You press into humble and God will make you great.
Amen.
God told Abraham, I'll bless you, make you a blessing, and I'll make your name great. It's just a matter of what you're great for, if you're great for yourself or great for God. The reward is a big-time payout. Don't fling it away so fast just because a little bit of doubt came to you. A little bit of fear came to you, trying to strip it away from you. James 1, I won't turn there, but James 1, 6 through 7 talks, 6 through 8, talks about wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know what a wavering is? It means going back and forth between two opinions. When you waver, it gives the devil an opportunity to strip you of your confidence and tempt you to cast it away. Amen. Throw in the towel, so to speak. So don't let the wavering come. As soon as wavering starts coming, you say, no, Mr. Devil, no, God said, he told me. We all know what it's like for that wavering to come, don't we? You know, the little thoughts start coming, well, you know, you were kind of excited in that meeting, you know, whenever you heard God. You remember you say you heard God? You just worked yourself up emotionally. Well, why didn't that voice come to you when you were at the football game getting emotional? That didn't come to you at the football game whenever you were rooting your team on. It came to you in the anointing. Think about it. That's what I would appreciate people doing, is thinking about the sermon. So what did God say? You got another house in your heart, one that you don't have to stack children on top of each other in their bedrooms? Hallelujah. I've learned over the years, I've learned you just got to stick with it. You got to have, a person that has a spirit of faith just doesn't have any quitting sense. Give up. It's over. Can't you see? No, it ain't over until I say it's over. Because I heard what God said. And I don't care how many people around you doubt. I was thinking about this morning. I didn't have time to write much of it down. It's coming to me. Every faith person in the Bible had doubters all around them. Abraham had Sarah doubting. Abraham had Lot doubting and backsliding. And Lot had his wife turning back, and you know, all these people around Abraham. And Moses had people down there making sacrificing to a calf, doubting. And people of faith have always had doubters all around them. The one with the issue of blood had doubters all around him. Blind Bartimaeus, doubters all around him. You can't let what other people around you think or believe determine what you think or believe. In fact, if it's affecting you too much, get away from them. Well, don't get so belligerent, Pastor. Well, I'm just trying to help you. Amen. So don't give up for anything. Don't give up because time passes. Amen. You know, when God speaks a word to you, it's a little like Mary when God said, you're going to conceive and you're going to have a child out of you. The Savior is going to be born through your womb. You know, without the involvement of a natural man. And the Bible said that she pondered all these things in her heart. That was conceived in her spirit before it was conceived in her womb. In other words, she conceived it and received it into her spirit. And you need to do the same thing. So that whenever she did conceive in her womb, and then she went over to Elizabeth's home. Remember, John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's womb, and John the Baptist kicked. You remember? And she had a promise from God, because God had spoken to her husband in the temple. Remember, whenever he was doing his duties in the temple, an angel came and spoke about John the Baptist being born, and she has conceived through a natural man, of course, but she had not been able to conceive before that, so it was a supernatural thing. Amen. So whenever she's standing in faith, and then Jesus comes close in the vicinity, John the Baptist in her womb kicked. Remember that? He leaped for joy. Well, when God speaks to you, just make sure your baby keeps kicking. Don't let your baby go dormant or, you know, die in your womb and it's not in there anymore. I mean, keep it alive. Water it. Meditate on what God said. Ponder these things in your heart. I mean, just believe God and say what He's saying to you. Don't cast away your confidence. Stay excited about it. I mean, if somebody wants to hear about it, you say, how much time you got? Sit down. Why? Because your baby's kicking. It's kicking. It's in there. It's growing. And it's full of joy. And gets full of joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So the very fact, like I said, the Bible teaches that you have to persist in these things, indication that you'll experience opposition. Satan is the one who's opposing it, not God. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not slack concerning His promises. Just because time passes doesn't mean God's holding out on you. You know, actually, it says there in 2 Peter 3:9, God's not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering towards us. Could it be that it's not us waiting on him, it's him waiting on us? Long-suffering means he's putting up waiting patiently on us. We're not waiting patiently on him, he's waiting patiently on us. What? Me? No, I've been waiting on God. No, Your Majesty, God's been waiting on you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Whenever hindrances come up or time passes, don't think it's because God said something, but he's unfaithful to what he said. Hallelujah. The Bible says Sarah conceived seed because she judged him faithful who had promised. She didn't say, well, God said that, but I don't know. He's not coming through for some reason. And years passed. Well, I've been believing God all day, Pastor. Hung in there, didn't you? Well, since last Sunday, hung in there, didn't you? You got to just lay aside the clock, put the clock out of your mind and say, I don't care. I'm believing God. Amen. Just forget about time. Praise the Lord. Don't look at the clock or the calendar. The clock is minute by minute. The calendar is day by day, week by week. The very fact that God said that you're going to have to persist means that it might not appear right away. But don't think it's God holding out on you. It's your faith and patience in the presence of this opposition that keeps you in the victory. And it's your faith and patience that enforces that victory. You got to learn to enforce it. Amen. We're putting on our big boy pants here at Spirit of Faith Family Church, and we're holding fast to what God has said, and we're enforcing it. Well, you can't force God. No, we're not trying to force God. He's the one that God has started in this. I mean, if it wasn't for him speaking to us, we wouldn't be. It's his will. That's what we're pointing out. We don't have to force him for it to come to pass. It's just that we're enforcing the will of God in the earth in the presence of the opposition of the enemy who wants to try to enforce defeat. You need to always remember when you're walking by faith, Satan is the hinderer, not God. And 1 Thessalonians 2:18 says that. If you're writing things down, 1 Thessalonians 2:18 says Satan is the one who hinders. You know, Jesus already redeemed you from all the curse and everything that is trying to hold you back. Hallelujah. So it's a matter of holding fast your confession of faith. But notice here, it's not just a matter of confessing your faith once and then going and forget it. He's talking about through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Faith and persistence. In other words, you need to bring along this companion of faith called patience. Faith has a companion to it called patience or persistence, or that just simply means endurance, another word for endurance. And it's through both of these together that we receive. In fact, everybody who has a spirit of faith has persistence in their faith. There's an element of persistence to it. You realize there's a tenacity that doesn't have any quitting sense. It's just part of it, your DNA. When you get into faith and you have persistence along with it, then it's just your spiritual DNA. You're just like a bulldog with a bone. You latch on. You're not letting go for anything. Amen. Not letting go for time passing, the suggestions of the enemy, other people around you that doubt. Well, you're believing something pretty wild. Well, that's about like Noah. He believed something pretty wild. Something he had never seen before, a flood. They had never seen that before. Amen. Well, don't you know it's impossible? My God specializes in impossibilities. Hallelujah. You just got to keep speaking to that mountain and say, I know what's on the other side of you. Like somebody said one time, if you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you'd move it. What's on the other side of your mountain? Great recompense of reward. Great. Ganamahim, megas. Big time stuff. stuff that makes other people jealous and start talking about you. I don't think you're doing much for God if somebody's not talking about you. Nobody picks on me, Pastor. Well, if you haven't run into the devil lately, you might be walking the same direction he's walking. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you know we live in a culture that's just full of fast things, quick things? I mean, fast food, you know, drive-through windows, microwave ovens, instant messaging. We're so used to quick, 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 quick. Everything quick, 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 quick. Amen. I texted this morning. I couldn't get out the driveway, so I was looking for somebody to connect with, and I texted Teresa. And, you know, I put an ASAP. Call me back ASAP. Didn't know. I found out in a few minutes that she was in a class teaching, you know. And I'm like, okay, good. Glad you were there. But I'm like, come on, Teresa, what's wrong? What's wrong? I got to get to church. And then you feel bad and you find out she's in class teaching. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I told him not to turn her phone off. I mean, this is my staff. I need to get a hold of my staff. Yeah, if you can't get a hold of anybody on staff, text Matt. He'll get to you. Nah, he's working on it. Nah, I'm messing with him. Praise the Lord. So we live in a day of instant. Got to have it right now. But what happened is we bring that mentality of the instantaneous over into our faith life. And we say, well, what's wrong? I believe God yesterday. I mean, amen. And people don't know how to endure and hold fast to the Word of God until what they're believing for comes to pass. Amen. Do you know God always responds instantly? I can tell we need to teach on that. He always responds instantly. Amen. I could stand here and preach on that for the rest of the service and you'd see it. I'll just give you a couple examples. Remember Daniel? He's persisting in prayer for 3 weeks. And the angel came and said, the first day that you started praying, I was dispatched. He told you when you pray for these things that belong to you concerning redemption rights and so forth, to believe that you receive them. And you shall have them. If you didn't receive with the moment you prayed, and you're believing that you did because God told you to believe that you did, then you're believing a lie and God told you to believe a lie. All right. You're believing you received, but you didn't really receive, and God told you to believe that. You know why he told you to believe you received? Because he always moves instantly. When you pray, he moves instantly. Well, no, Pastor. I mean, you know, the parable of the unjust judge, you got to look at that. I mean, it looks like, I mean, that unjust judge and the God, Jesus compared that unjust judge to God and so forth and so on. No, read it again. No, read it again. Read. Because the unjust judge would not for a while. Remember? But afterwards, he said, well, lest she continually weary me, I'll do it. And Jesus said, I could tell you every verse, actually go through there, and every verse proves that the unjust judge is not God. And Jesus said so at the end. He said, the unjust judge, behold what the unjust judge said. And God, will not God avenge them speedily? The unjust judge is not God. The unjust judge is appearances. Because God said, Jesus himself said, judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. And God all through the Bible is called the righteous judge of all the earth. How do you call him righteous throughout the whole Bible except one account call him unrighteous? Unjust judge. He's not. He's the righteous judge of all the earth. In other words, he will not withhold anything good to them that is due whenever it's due to you. He said in Proverbs, he said, withhold not good from whom it is due when it's in the power of your hand to do it. Say not to thy friend, go and tomorrow I will pay thee whenever it's due to him today. It says that in Proverbs. I'm quoting Proverbs. You know, if we're doing that and he doesn't do that, then we're better than him. We're doing what he said, but he himself doesn't do what he said. And I could go on for the rest of the service and prove that God moves instantly.
Amen.
Well, I don't ever see anything instantly. Well, remember the cursing of the fig tree? It began in the roots, but you couldn't see it. When did it begin? You think it began the next day? No, it began the day that the moment that he spoke to it. But you couldn't see anything. See, we got to stop looking at what we see. God always goes to work. When you make your claim of faith, the spirit realm goes to work instantly. Always instantly. But the enemy is going to oppose that. Why? Because he wants to hold you. He wants you to look at sight and see the opposition and say, well, you know, God didn't move. And he wants you to cast away your confidence. What did God say? Sometimes there's a stretch of water you got to walk on and some wind and waves you got to ignore until you see the manifestation of what you're believing for. Jesus called Peter to come. And there's a period of time sometimes you got to walk on some stretch of water, you know? Amen? The reason some people say, I tried that faith business and it doesn't work is because the enemy opposed them and they didn't persist. They cast in the tile. They didn't try it. It tried them and they flunked. Well, praise the Lord. They cast away their confidence. That's what I mean. They didn't exercise faith and patience. Amen. Something showed up in their life and said, boo. And they went, oh, I guess it's not true. Okay, let's talk about some things here for the rest of the service. Sometimes some things are hindered or delayed in manifestation that we're believing for is not because of the enemy per se even. It's just simply we need to change and make some adjustments. Because, go to 1 Peter 1:7, because our faith is not really conducting the power of God that well. Now, before you get offended, I didn't say yours, I said ours. Boy, have I been here. So tell your neighbor, we're not here to be offended today, we're here to get some help. Our faith is not conducting the power of God very well. We need to make some changes and some adjustments. Amen. Here in 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 7, which I can walk around with this. Here, I got it right out of my Bible. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, it's so precious when we go through tests and trials. That's not what he said. Something that's precious is rare. Trials are not rare. The Bible says, no temptation taken you, but what is common to man. Well, I'm really going through it, Pastor. Well, stop puffing yourself up like you're somebody special. Everybody's going through something.
Thank you.
Just some people just tell everybody else about it rather than...
Seriously. Yeah, come on. Yeah.
I'm leaving after this. You know you're walking good in faith whenever other people can't tell you're going through tests or trials. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests and trials. Today, you can tell who's going through a test by looking on their face. The Bible said we ought to be able to tell who's going through a test through the ones that are dancing the most. What? Count it all joy when? So the ones that got out in the aisle and did this today, oh, they're the ones going through the test and the trial. Well, anyway, if we were people, that's the way we'd look at it. But he said, notice the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. The trial of the faith is not what he's calling precious. Otherwise, that would be, you know what makes gold more rare than dirt? There's less of it. Anybody want some dirt? I'll give you truckloads. I got dirt. How much do you want, Pastor? Nothing. It's just free. It's just dirt. You want some gold? Oh, I'll charge you for that. Amen. Well, why don't you give it to me? Just leave my illustrations alone, all right? Just let me illustrate. It's precious. Isn't it more precious? So here he's not calling the trial. That's common to man. What's precious is faith that has gone through the trial and gotten the dross burned out of it in the trial. You know how gold gets more pure? You gotta put it in some fire. That all the dross comes to the top, you skim it off. Isn't that right? I've learned more about walking by faith by getting myself out there in the middle of it, getting out there in the fire, so to speak, and just believe God and won't quit. I learn a lot during those times. I said, I learn a lot during those times. You learn more about faith out in it than you ever will sitting in church. What I have learned in church, I've made sure I've learned it from people who have been out in the fire. Otherwise, they don't know what they're talking about. They just have a book knowledge. They don't have any experience. They don't have any grunt. No grunt to their faith. No. You know, won't quit. They don't know anything about it. They got a head full of book knowledge. Well, that's fine. But you just got to step over. Sometimes you just got to step over the aching void with nothing under you but the Word of God and say, "Here goes. Here goes." The devil said, "You're not going to make it." You say, "Shut up." And here you are fighting the good fight. You'll get more dross out of your faith stepping out over the aching void than you ever will sitting in church hearing the Word taught. Not preaching against hearing the Word taught. But you don't know anything about it until you've really done it. You know that's true about school. You go to school for a trade. You don't know about computer programming because you went to school. It's because you start doing it. Now you're learning about computer. Now, the schooling is great. You need that first, but you got to do it. Amen. You don't know anything about farming unless you've farmed. You don't know anything about surgery unless you've done surgeries. I mean, you have a head full of knowledge, but you don't know anything about marriage unless you've been married. We decided we weren't going to teach on marriage for 10 years until after we'd been married for 10 years. Not that we can't teach the Word, but, you know, tell your neighbor, and that's good preaching whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. So sometimes it's not the enemy opposing us. It's just that our faith still has a lot of dross in it. You know, gold, I don't think they knew this. They didn't know anything about electricity back here, but I believe God inspired Peter to write this down about faith being like gold that's purified, because they didn't have any knowledge about electricity, but gold is one of the best. You know, they put gold in computers sometimes because it's such a good conductor of electricity. And so the purer the gold, the better it conducts the electricity. And what he's saying here is, if you'll get the dross out of your faith by stepping out in it and learning while you're out there, getting the fire burns all this out, then you'll be a better conductor of God's power. Amen. Which brings you into the thing you're believing for. Am I making any sense? So whenever he says here, trial of your faith gives you an opportunity to get the dross out of your faith, you should take those opportunities. Don't run from tests and trials. Don't back out of it because the devil's turning the heat up. You're missing a great opportunity. Well, my flesh doesn't like tests and trials. Mine neither. Don't wait for your flesh to jump up and down when a test or a trial comes. Why is your flesh going to jump up and down when test and trial comes? He told you in James 1 it's not going to do that because he said, count it all joy. He didn't say it's enjoyable. He said, count it all joy. Yeah. Amen. I'm putting it down to my account right now. I'm happy. My flesh says, we're not happy. We say, shut up. I'm happy right now. I get another opportunity to prove God's word is true. And another opportunity to step out in the fire and get some dross out of my faith and learn a few things. Hallelujah. As you take that stand in faith with all the light you have at the time, the Lord will begin to walk you through things that you need to make adjustments in to move you towards your victory. Philippians 3:15 says, be perfect. That means wholehearted. And if we're in any way otherwise minded, God will reveal this unto us. So go into it wholehearted with all the knowledge you have. And if there's things you don't know, God will reveal it to you. But he won't reveal it to you sitting back in the boat. He reveals it to you out on the water. You got to get out on the water. You got to get out in the fire. You got to get out of the boat. Otherwise, you have a head full of knowledge that you don't know anything. You're just wet behind the ears. I don't know why I'm mean on the devil and unbelief today, but if you'll stick with him and just keep on making those adjustments and keep on making the changes that he's cleansing your mind and your faith with by the washing of the water of the word and the burning out of the fire, more and more your faith will begin to conduct the power of God. Amen. And it'll bring to pass what you're believing for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to think right about tests and trials. Don't back away from them. Stay full of joy in the middle of tests and trials, because you know that this is an opportunity to exercise patience and develop in some things. Develop in faith and patience. Tell your neighbor, faith and patience. Here in James 1:4, it says, your faith is going to be tried. James 1, let me just read this. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 3, actually, that's what I meant to say. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Your faith is going to be tried. Well, I must be doing something wrong. My faith is being tried. No, honey, you're doing something right. It's going to be tried. It's going to be opposed by the enemy. The Green's literal translation of verse 4, let patience have its perfective work. As you endure, you'll see perfection come into your faith. You'll see perfection come into your faith. You're learning some things. Basic Bible in basic English, it says, let patience have its full effect. What's the full effect of persevering to get to the other side of the test? Maturity of faith. You want maturity of faith? Start taking steps of faith. You're not going to sit back in the boat and learn much about faith. You won't do it. You might learn more head knowledge, but you really don't know much about it until you get out there. Everybody still glad you came this morning? Praise God. It gives you the opportunity when you get out there and you persevere to work all the kinks and imperfections out of your faith. You know, you can pull a hose out and have a kink in it and it's not going to flow, put water on your flowers. Well, you just keep on working that hose and get the kinks out, and eventually, you know, you blow the flowers right out of the ground if you're not careful. You know. Got to keep some of you engaged. You're looking at me starry, glary-eyed, like, oh. So get the dross out. Amen. The flesh doesn't like this process, but it will like the results after you go ahead and get through to the other side of this and receive everything that belongs to you. Hallelujah. This is why whenever it says count it all joy when you encounter diverse tests and trials, he knows you're going to get to the other side, and so that's where you keep looking at. Amen. So you can make what the devil brings to destroy your faith actually increase your faith. You can make what he brings to destroy your faith cause you to increase in faith. You can turn it around and make it work for you. Make it work to your advantage if you respond right. Hallelujah. You can actually say, thank you, devil, for doing me a favor right now. You're doing me a big favor right now. I have another opportunity to stand on God's word. When you got your mind renewed, tests and trials aren't things you run from. Tests and trials are things you just plow on through and you learn from it. Hallelujah. 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 How quickly you develop in your walk of faith and perseverance is determined by how long it takes the Lord, takes you responding to the Lord as you walk by faith. Because as you walk by faith, he'll bring a truth to you that you'll be like, oh, I see how I can better exercise my faith here. And if you respond to that, which the flesh won't like, by the way, all of a sudden now you know more than you did about walking by faith. But it's up to how quickly we respond. Some people take a long time, and other people just respond right away. Well, just like some people get into the swimming pool, slow. I used to do it that way, and I figured that's too long. The pain's too long. I mean, so I've become more of a guy. Here we go. Boom. Get this over with. Well, both people that got in got wet, but it was just more painful for some than others, you know. Some of you looking at me like, what? Too often, people's problem is that they're living with their life is living with lazy faith. They just don't get with it. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's read a few verses. Well, I'll go to Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. The Bible says, in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Faint not means we don't give up, throw in the towel, don't quit. You'll reap. You think God lied about that? So we're looking at a bunch of people that's going to reap. If you don't quit, what does that mean? Don't cast away your confidence. Now, don't cast away, listen to this. You're going to Philippians, I know, but you don't cast away your confidence while God is working for you. And while he's working in you. Because in this faith life, you start walking by faith. He starts working for you, but sometimes it's that your faith's not conducting his power very well, but it is started. But he's also working for you, and he's working on you. What's he doing when I say he's working on you? Perfecting what is lacking in your faith. Well, Pastor, I just like to learn it all from church and going to church. I don't want to have to learn it out in the fire. Well, it won't work that way. You need to just change and go to the First Church of the Doubters and not come here anymore. Amen. Keep growing. Keep changing. Keep getting the dross out of your faith. You'll conduct the power better and better. Pastor Debbie and I are better and better at conducting the power of God than we ever have before. Well, I want to be where you are. Well, you got to start somewhere. Start on a pair of socks. Believe in God for a pair of socks. I mean, just get out there. Just get out there. Don't. Amen. It's like the lepers. Why sit here? Why sit we here and die? I mean, you know, let's get going for this. Have you found Philippians 1:6? Philippians 1:6. I like these verses. Write these all down. It says that Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not just working for you, he's working in you. Working in you. Working in you. Working in you. Adjusting your thinking, adjusting your believing, it putting some endurance and some perseverance on the inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 To where you develop a backbone. Like a crowbar. Rather than like a wiggly worm, you know. Just got to stand for something. Believe something. Hallelujah. It's like believing all this stuff lately about the abortion law in New York. Amen. You know, those same people, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Those same people, if tomorrow somebody said, well, the Mars rover found a bacteria on the backside of Mars, so we found life. It's amazing they can find a little amoeba and find life, but they can't find life in a womb. The other day, somebody said, we need to protect God's creation. They said, well, why don't you protect the unborn baby in the womb? Because this person was for abortion. I don't know how I got on that. We got to stand for something, and that's what we stand for. We stand for that. Look at the second chapter of Philippians 2, verse number 13. So that my bonds... that's the wrong chapter. 2, verse 13. Not 1, Pastor Jay. He said, for it is God... 2:13. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's working for you, but He's also doing some work in you. Perfecting your faith, teaching you how to not take the thoughts of the enemy, take the thoughts of doubt whenever the devil says, you know it's not working, teaching you not to cast away your confidence. Something we learn. We don't know it because we're born again. We know it because we learn it. We learn it. You don't have to turn to this one, but Psalm 138, verse 8. You might want to write that reference down. Psalm 138, 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. I stand on that. You're perfecting that which concerns me. You know why? Because He's so merciful. He could just say, well, you know, if you don't know anything about believing God, I'm just going on somebody else. But He doesn't. He just keeps perfecting what concerns us. Hebrews 12, 2, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. You'll stick with Him. He'll stick with you and get you across the finish line of faith. But it might require some adjustments while you're doing it. You know, John 15, it talks about the different kinds of bringing forth fruit. No fruit, and then more fruit, and then much fruit, and then fruit that remains. But you know how you go from one to the next level? You're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. The word washes out the things that are keeping us from producing as much fruit as we could. Amen. So if you're not willing to let God work these things out that concern you, you could end up casting away your confidence, get in the flesh, and miss God's plan altogether. Amen. Hallelujah. There are different kinds of walks of faith. Some things are going to take you a lifetime to fulfill. The call of God on my life is going to take a lifetime. I won't finish it tomorrow or next week or next year. It's a plodding thing. We've in our lives, Pastor David and I, we've bought houses, and for the first time we're building a house, going to build a house. And I realized quickly, oh, this is different than buying a house. I know there's a bit of a process in buying a house. But compared to building, buying a house that's already, you know, existence, that's like a sprint. Building is like a marathon. And I realized quickly, oh, we're going to have to persist and keep on taking steps, and another step, and another step, and another step. You can't just say, I'll buy it, sign on the line, 30 days later, you're in it. Doesn't work that way when you build. And that's the way you got to realize some walks of faith are that way. They're more like a marathon. But hey, what's the alternative? Doing without? Okay, let's get her going then. Hallelujah. Look here in Psalm 4:1. We're wrapping this up with this truth, not with this verse, with this truth. Psalm 4, verse number 1. You still happy you came? Oh, I'll tell you, this is down where the rubber meets the road. Psalm 4, verse number 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Notice that thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. The Darby translation says, in pressure thou hast enlarged me. Oh, how much time do you have? He's not talking about God bringing pressure. He's simply saying, when I go to take a step in God or take a step of faith or a step of obedience, a step into the next part of God's plan for me, step out in faith and so forth, he's talking about pressure will come against you. But he said, I enlarged whenever Satan opposed me. That verse is letting you know what belongs to you if you won't quit in the pressure. That verse is telling you, that was a reversal of the tape that was not tongues. It's telling you what belongs to you if you'll not quit in the opposition. And enlargement. Bigger things. Well, we already read it. great reward. David was opposed by Goliath, but he looked around him and he saw a tax deduction. He saw, I get to marry the king's daughter. I get to live without paying taxes for the rest of my life. Okay, I know what's on the other side of you. I'm going after you. Glory. Who for the joy that's set before you. There's something on the other side of your giant. And there's going to be opposition when you go after Goliath. Remember Goliath? He was talking in David's ear, you know, I'm going to feed you to the birds, so forth and so on. David said, I'm going to take your head from you today. Big talk. Big talk for a little stripling 17-year-old. Amen. So David said that, and Goliath said that, and David said something else. Goliath, and it's the war of words. He wouldn't throw away his confidence. David would not throw away his confidence. He said, I was out there with the lion coming after the sheep and the bear coming after the sheep, and you're just an uncircumcised Philistine. He wouldn't call him a giant. And I'm going to take your head from you today. And he told him exactly what he was going to do. David ran toward Goliath. Goliath ran toward David. David got out the sling, got him right in the head, knocked him dead, went over and cut his head off with his own sword. And then he took it and carried it back to Jerusalem. And he wrote a book called This Is How You Get Ahead in Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Debbie and I were talking just yesterday, and we were talking about how the enemy over and over again in different areas of our life has opposed us. And she said, every time the devil comes against us and really tries to delay what we're believing God for, we keep persevering. She said, that perseverance causes our faith on the inside to grow bigger. And we end up with a bigger blessing at the end than we even started in to get at the beginning. I thought, you know, that's right. I could tell you story after story how that actually has happened. I told her, I said, if the devil wasn't so blinded by his desire to hinder us, you know what I'm talking about? He would realize that it would be to his benefit not to fight us. We wouldn't take near as much ground if he let us waltz into it. So, but he's too blinded by his desire to oppose us. He's just got to fight, fight, fight. It's just the way we roll. In pressure, God enlarges us. Amen. We started out believing for some land. We had it in our heart to live in the country. We didn't want to live around, you know, a neighbor where you could spit and hit their house. You know, hit their house. Didn't want to do that anymore. We wanted out in the country. Doesn't mean it, if you want to live in the city, fine. I'm not saying that you're wrong or I'm right, but it's different. People have different desires. So we wanted to do that. We started out believing for 5 acres of land. I mean, it just didn't seem possible. I mean, there was no way. We kept believing God, and we grew on the inside, and then we upped it to 20. We got bigger on the inside, and then we were up to 25. By the time it was all over, we got 50. Started in for 5 and got 10 times more. I've seen that over and over again in our lives in one way or another. That's what belongs to people who won't quit. Hallelujah. You just make the devil eat it. You know what I'm talking about? You're going to wish you hadn't have done this. If you'd have known, you would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And if you'd have known us persist, you fighting us persisting, if you'd have known we're going to come out the other side with, you would not have done it, devil. You would not have fought. You would not have fought. Because we don't quit. And in that pressure, we get enlarged. You don't get enlarged by just meditating on the word. You get enlarged by stepping out of the boat. Hallelujah. I'm stirred up. Hallelujah. So this is letting you know it belongs to you. Boy, if some of you had a revelation of what I'm preaching. You wouldn't give up for some little demon there. Boo. Boo, boo. Get out of here. Hallelujah. James 5, 10 through 11. I'm almost done. James 5, 10 through 11 talks about the prophets that endured and stood fast. And then it talks about Job. We count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We know the story, so we know what Job got by not doubting, giving in, whenever Satan came against him. He got twice as much. Oh, in opposition, he took ground. That's the way we roll. Yeah, we want to sing that song, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. See, real faith has a defiance to it. It doesn't have a whine whenever tests and trials arise. It has a defiance to it because it knows what we're going to take ground. You try to back us out of ground, we're actually going to take ground. And you're going to wish you had never done it. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, twice as much sounds good to me. Every time you express your faith and won't quit expressing your faith, you're enlarging yourself. You're enlarging yourself. You're enlarging yourself. It might not appear enlargement on the outside at first, but you're enlarging yourself on the inside, and that enables you to take more out here. Yeah. Pastor Hagin, I was a member of their church, Pastor Hagin in Rhema for years, and he always said, I like his voice, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. I'm like, that's me too. I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. Tell your neighbor, that's you. Won't quit for anything. Won't quit for a doubting wife. Won't quit for a... Yeah, won't quit. Won't quit. My wife doesn't doubt. I mean, she's spurring me on all the time. I'm not talking about her. Praise God. That's, you got to marry right. Now, sometimes... we don't release our faith until we have to. You ever notice that about yourself? We just tend to not use our faith until we need to. So the devil really works against himself by pressing us into it. Now, I'm not saying that's maturity. Maturity in faith doesn't wait until the devil presses us to believe God. Maturity in faith just takes the word and believes God, whether there's opposition or not. But I'm just simply saying sometimes human nature, we just won't do it until we have to. Now, some people won't do it even when they have to. Not saying that, you know, yeah, anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. So, that being said, if pressure is going to push us into anything, then let it push you deeper into the Word. Let it push you into greater expressions of faith. And a greater determination. I'm not quitting in this. Because I heard God speak to me. He spoke to me. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The devil runs the risk, it's very risky for him, to pressure people, especially people of faith. Because it has the potential of backfiring on him. But I've noticed something about him. He seems willing to take that risk. Because I think too many times it works. You know what I'm talking about? So he's willing to run that risk. Let's just make Spirit of Faith Family Church a place where it just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Where you're going to wish you hadn't done this. You're going to wish you hadn't done this. And I'll make you eat it. I'm going to stuff the word in your pipe and make you smoke it. Hallelujah. So with that said, don't just sit. Perseverance doesn't mean just quietly getting quiet. Perseverance actually means getting louder. Amen. Amen. Perseverance is not silent. If it gets silent, it turns into a wait. Amen. There's no such thing as silent perseverance. Amen. So give God much praise while you're persevering. You're not depressed persevering. You're not sad. You're not you don't look like your mother-in-law moved in on you or something, your face. But no, you look like the joy of the Lord is your strength. My mother-in-law is great, so it's not, I can't use that joke for myself, but you might be able to identify. Persevering. I'm taking that off my time. I was. Amen. Persevering without joy is called flunking the test. We're not persevering all sad, all crying. I don't know why God doesn't hurry up. You're not persevering. That's called flunking. Joy is an expression of the triumph of Christ. And you are in Him, and it's an expression of your triumph, and it's an expression of your endurance. Make yourself get up in the morning and dance. Hallelujah. What are we doing? The Bible says the violent take it by force. We're taking it. We're enforcing it. We're taking it. Listen, and your shout is your violence. Your praise is your violence. Yeah, you're getting violent now. Hallelujah. Your praise is you choosing, I'm going to succeed. I'm going to have what God said. I'm going to see the increase. I'm going to get the advance. I'm going to get the enlargement. I'm going to get the Ganamahi Megas. I'm not going to quit. I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. Getting silent is yielding to the pressure and letting it on the inside. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't get silent. We persevere with a shout. We're full of joy. We express the victory even before we see the victory. Yeah, I'm just going to wait and see. That's called casting away your confidence. Faith doesn't wait to see anything. Faith announces ahead of time how it's going to turn out. The devil will say, no, don't say that, because if it doesn't work out, well, then, you know, you'll look really silly. You'll look really foolish. And so here's what you say. You just for that, Mr. Devil, I'm going to announce it to some more people. I'm going to put it on Facebook now. Listen, faith is not for timid people. You got to get in the devil's face. You got to realize what's coming against you whenever those yakety-yak voices come to you. And you got to say, okay, you're trying to get me to cast away my confidence. So I'm going to press in more. Hallelujah. The word gets us across the finish line, doesn't it? Anybody taking any steps of faith? Yeah, that's something we need to understand about persevering. There's a lot of things that come in phases and steps. What is that verse in Romans 4? It talks about Abraham's steps of faith. Steps of faith. Some things that's what people aren't willing to do is take steps. It's not a one big leap thing. It's a step here and a step there. God says, connect to this ministry or give this seed or sow this seed or believe God this or you know, whatever the step is. Take the steps. Take the steps. See where people get discouraged is they don't take the steps whenever God prompts them to take the steps. So they're not seeing any progress. So it opens the door to the devil. And they get discouraged. So you got to keep taking those steps. Take the steps. Amen. Praise the Lord. You'll never step across the finish line if you don't take the steps to get there. That's what people don't like. They don't like the process. They don't like the steps. They don't like the, you know. Amen. But see, we're learning to be okay with that. Amen. We're okay with steps. The first book I wrote, I told a minister friend of mine that I had a book in my heart, and he said, there's a lot. He said, you just got to do it. You just got to start writing because you'll be tempted to think, well, this isn't coming out right. But he said, just keep on writing. Just keep on pressing and it'll start flowing. If you got it in your heart, it'll start flowing. And then he said, there's a lot of people that would like to have written a book, but they don't want to write a book. Yeah. I never forgot that. There's a lot of people that would like to be walking in certain things in their life, but they don't want to have gone through the process to get there, to get to that place in their life. And so another year passes and no progress is made. You got to get out of the boat.